Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for empty nesters, retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, sandwich generation parents and seniors, everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual and inspirational growth. Now during the pandemic, SPIRIT has become the perfect way for all of us to engage in a virtual setting. Today is the second part of a two-part program that we began on Tuesday, commemorating Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, which took place 82 years ago this week. This was at the beginning of the horrific time in our history of the Shoah, the Holocaust. There are very few viewers in our program that don't have a personal connection, either through relatives, neighbors, or friends who've suffered unspeakable nightmares. We know that we will not forget. We grew up either in the midst of the Shoah or in the shadows just a few years later. But what of the next generations? Our responsibility and obligations are to make sure that our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren know and understand what took place. As we all know, there are just too many in the world now that would like to deny the entire period of time. In our program on Tuesday, and now today, we have been hearing from those who can teach us lessons that we can share with our families. As Elie Wiesel, a survivor of Auschwitz and Nobel Peace Prize winner, said, "To hear a witness is to become a witness." Today, we will be hearing from two very, very special people. Bina Kozuch-Spiegel is the daughter of Tzipora and Kamen Zeev Kozuch, who were imprisoned in Auschwitz during the Holocaust. Ms. Kozuch wrote Triumph After All, which tells her mother's story, who as a young girl was the only remaining member of her immediate family. Rabbi Shaliach Tzibor Sam Josephson is the son of Yosef Kokotek and fellow swimmer who grew up in Bezdin, Poland. Although they knew of each other, they really didn't meet until they were both at Bergen-Belsen and later married there when it became a displaced persons camp. Rabbi Josephson studied Chazanut at the Bell School of Music at Yeshiva University, and he will share some of the music of the Holocaust in his presentation. Their complete bios are in the emails that you received when you registered for this session. It's my honor and my privilege now to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Bina Kozuch. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rebbetzin Steinig and the OU for giving me this platform on such an important week of event, the Kristallnacht. Was there a divine intervention during the Shoah, the Holocaust? Indira Gandhi, former Prime Minister of India, said the following, "I have found that life persists in the midst of destruction, and therefore there must be bigger law. This big law I'm calling the divine intervention. During a destruction or despair, there is a divine intervention and one needs to persist and not give up. Let's listen to some true facts that happened to my mother, Zichrona Livracha, 76 years ago. My mother, Tzipora Junger Kozuch, lived in Ruskova, Romania, in the region of Transylvania. By the way, Elie Wiesel, Zichrona Livracha, lived in the same region. We can show the map, Rebbetzin. Don't hear anything. Until 1940, the Jewish community in that small shtetl village conducted their life according to the Hasidic tradition. The healthy families helped the needy. My grandmother always baked extra challahs the breaded bread for Shabbos. My mother and her sister Chaya brought them to the lower part of the city where the less affluent families lived. Milk, eggs, and produce were also added. What you're going to hear is a song written by Aaron Lebedev and sung by him, called Romania. It is in Yiddish, the spoken language in the village. The song will describe Romania, the beautiful country. So what you just heard is some explanation about Ruskova, that was in Transylvania, that was beautiful, beautiful land. And some of the food that was pastrami, mamelige, mamelige made of corn flour. And let's not forget the small little glass of wine that accompanied every meal. From December 20 until 1940, dark clouds of despair spread over Transylvania. On that day, Hungary joined forces with the German allies. Transylvania was gifted to the Hungarians. All the Nazi laws against the Jews were implemented immediately. As a result, my mother could no longer continue with her education. A young bucher, a yeshiva bucher, was hired to teach her some of the Chumash, the Bible stories, prayers, and reading of the Hebrew language. Those who had land, as my grandparents did, had to give the majority of the produce to the authorities. One early morning after Passover, in late April 1944, I'm going to read you a passage from the book that I wrote, Triumph After All. It's my mother's story and many historical facts as well. The ground underneath my feet shook. The glasses on the top shelf started their waltz. Strauss music came into my mind. Some glasses could not endure the trauma and shattered all over the kitchen floor. It was not an earthquake. What was it? Thunder was heard everywhere. There was a fierce banging on the door. Then came the deafening barking. Kimiji, Kimiji, Yosem, go out quickly. More insulting voices were heard. You filthy Jews, out immediately. You swine Jews. This scene will always remain buried deep in my memory, as if it took place this morning. That was the beginning of the end. The whole village was transported to Falchowice. The city that was 1 hour away from Ruskova, and it became a ghetto for 1 month. From many other testimonies, we know that 10 to 15 people were crammed into one-room apartment. Food was scarce. Many rummaged through the trash cans. If one peel of potato was found, it was a delicacy. People died from malnutrition. Dead bodies were lying on the seedy ground. At the end of the day, Jewish people picked up the bodies and piled them up into the wheelbarrow. The dead were thrown into a communal pit as a burial stop, as a burial. Towards the end of May, the whole ghetto was evacuated. All marched to the train station. The cars, which were designated for cattle, the ones without windows, 100 men, children, and babies were packed into one car. There was no food, no water, and no sanitation facilities like sink or bathroom. The Jews were treated worse than animals. Many collapsed never to rise. So why no windows on the car? To conceal from the world that thousands upon thousands of Jews were transported to the infamous death camp by the Germans. The train arrived to Auschwitz-Birkenau on May 29, 1944, the second day of Shavuot, the holiday of receiving the Torah. Nearly 300,000 Jews entered the death camp. To the right, to the left, those who cannot contribute to the labor force, too young, too fragile, too old, the gas chamber awaited them. What happened to the bodies? They were shoved into the crematorium. What about the ashes? There was a group of Jewish prisoners who were referred to as Sandor commandos. They took out the ashes and either buried them or scattered the ashes in the forest or over the vacant lots, if there were any to be found. In order to conceal all the inhumane acts by the Nazis and never leak out to the outside world, to any of the members of this group of the Sandor commandos, they were also put to death and replaced often by the new group of Jewish inmates. At the age of 14 years old, my mother stood alone, all alone. All were taken away. Her parents, her sister Chaya of 12 years old, her brother Mendel of 6 years old, as well as her uncles and her grandparents. My mother looked to the right, she looked to the left, and she saw the SS officers were engaged in conversation. Her aunt Chaya was standing not too far from her on the left side to be led away. She grabbed her hand, motioned to her not to utter any words, and pushed her in front of her. My mother saved her aunt's life as well as her own. By having one surviving relative with her in these horrific camps for the next 9 months, until they arrived to Israel approximately 2 years later. The number of Jews who survived Transylvania was only 28,000 for the 300,000, less than 12% survived. 1 month into slavery imposed by the Nazis, my mother found a small little note protruding from one of the bricks. She went and she opened up the note. She looked at it and she was not able to read the language, but she waited anxiously to see if the woman who read several languages was able to decipher the note. After the appeal, after the roll call, she gave the note to that woman. The woman indicated that the language was French. It was written by the owner of the POW. The French soldier indicated that for several days he observed and noticed that she walked the whole day, did not rest, nor eat anything. Food? There was one slice of stale bread a day and some black water which was poured into a tin silver cup. Can one survive from such food? The soldiers indicated in the note that he will try to place some food for her under the same brick. For the next 2 months, this kind soul managed to hide some small packages of food, which my mother shared with her aunt. And if the packages were larger, she shared it with some of the inmates in the barrack. You just heard two facts about survival. I believe that each person who survived the hellish places under the Nazis, Hashem watched over them, intervened in their behalf, as he did with my mother and my father, Zechono Livracha, as well. My father was also imprisoned in Auschwitz for a year and a half at different times. The main question is what kept each person alive? They lived a life cave-like. Emotionally, they could not converse in the open. They could not express their pain, their anguish, nor their will to live. Actually, those who could not tolerate the appalling treatments ran towards the barbed wire fences. Those who ran towards death did not even manage to reach the fence. A bullet ended their life. Or a German shepherd raced after the escapees. So those who remained alive, what kept them going? Hope. Hope that there must be a better days to come. There must be light at the end of the tunnel. Each used whatever worked for them to keep on going. We call it resilience. That was a healing process to avoid getting into the depth of despair. Those who believed in Hashem prayed for salvation. We read about such great faith in Trestenstadt ghetto, which was located in the region of Czechoslovakia. The German allowed the Jews to have two shuls, two synagogues in that ghetto. On Erev Yom Kippur, the eve of the holiest day for the Jews, the Chazan, the cantor Avraham Hellman, placed his talit on the suitcases. All the Jews were supposed to be deported to the death camps. Each held one valise. The Chazan chanted the Kol Nidre with the rest of the 2,000 Jews. You will hear the Kol Nidre shortly. They all stayed up the night, praying and weeping. At 6 in the morning, the train whistle was heard. The train transported all the Jews to Auschwitz-Birkenau. The Chazan Avraham Helman was murdered. What was the purpose to try and stay alive? As King David wrote in Psalm 20, verse 9, Hem karu v'nafalu, v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad. They slumped and fell, but we arose and were invigorated. We, the nation of Israel, saw many nations who wanted to annihilate and to eliminate us. But at the end, they perished themselves, such as the Egyptian in the story of Passover and the Romans who destroyed the Second Temple in the year 70 Common Era. We are the nation of Israel alive, alive lanetzach, forever. We survive because we must continue and keep up the legacy, the morasha. The children of the survivors, as I am, and the next generations, we are the legacy. We all have to be the light of the nations, carry on the future, remembering the contributions of our ancestry to the Jewish nation, to have pride in what we have been and what we are. Through the belief in God and fulfillment of the mitzvot, and the unity we demonstrate as one nation, Am Israel, the nation of Israel, we will survive. As individuals, we don't give up in time of despair. We have shown that we are a courageous nation. History verifies that. We look at the small things around us in a positive way. We learn to appreciate what we have, our dwelling, family, friends, our leaders, and the community we are surrounded with. Every minute is an opportunity to reach out. It is a gift of giving, and in return, a gift as well for yourself. The message from the Holocaust survivors: any act of evil, as I described, and as you heard from other survivors, should never be allowed to be repeated towards any group, no matter the religion, color, or belief. We must remember and never forget that 6.5 million Jews who were murdered and burned in the ovens, those facts must be told. That has shifted to my generation and the future ones to come. To forget them is as if we are killing them. Elie Wiesel's words, a message to all of us and to the next generations. Never again we stay united under any diversity. Unity wins. I'm going to conclude with the recording of Osei Shalom Bimbomav. The voice you will hear explaining the title is of our beloved teacher, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, who passed away this last Shabbat, Zichrono Livracha, Yehi Shmo Mevorach. In the background are the voices of the children as well. They are the next generation. Osei Shalom Bimbomav. Thank you.
The 60th anniversary is a really, really great moment. And we know that when we're really excited that something great has happened, we have to sing a song to Hashem. And the best song we can possibly sing is Oseh Shalom Bimramav, Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. We want just one thing above all, for Israel, for the Jewish people, for the world, that there should be peace.
Ose shalom bimromav, yase shalom, shalom aleinu, v'al
Thank you.
Nina, thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful, meaningful presentation. When we send out materials after the program, we'll be sending you a link for anyone who would like to order Bina's book. So that'll be later on today. It is my honor now to call upon Rabbi Shaliach Tzibor Sam Josephson, who will also be sharing both a narrative and a musical presentation about his family.
It was constantly like this.
Rabbi?
Yes, I'm here. Am I unmuted?
We hear you. We hear you. You're fine.
Okay. It's hard to describe in terms of talking about the Holocaust. My parents, having gone through it, really didn't speak about it much at home. My earliest memories are as a kid just getting the words confused, program and pogrom. They seem awfully similar, but what a world of difference. In terms of bits and pieces that my parents shared with me, I remember my father being in the Polish army, being very proud of that, and his mother actually having to call him on the phone to tell him to come home because of the anti-Semitism in the town. So there's my father, basically a sniper on the roof of his parents' home, wondering if he'll have to shoot somebody. Then my mother told me about disinformation, which is a popular word now, but the Nazis used it to great torment to the Jews. They spread rumors, especially among the women, get married, have a child, you won't get taken. And then the next day, if you're pregnant, you're doomed. So there was horrible playing going on with people's minds. And that's part of what my parents shared with me, among other things. One of the songs that I want to share with you now is Es Brennt, written by Mordechai Gebertig. And this song basically is a call to arms for the Jews before it was too late. But unfortunately, it was too late. Es Brennt. Es Brennt, Brüder, es Brennt. Oi, unser Ruhm steht und immer brennt. Beise Witten mit ihr Gosen, reißen, brechen und sie blasen. Starken noch die wilde Flammen, als schon brennt. Und ihr steht und guckt als sich mit verlegter Hand. Und ihr steht und guckt als sich, wie unser steht und brennt. Okay. Es brennt, Briederlach, es brennt. Und unser Ruhm steht und immer brennt. Und schon die Feierzungen, das ganze Städtel eingeschlungen. Und die Bäse witten huschen, unser Städtel brennt. Und ihr steht und guckt als sich mit verlegter Hand. Und ihr steht und guckt als sich, wie unser Städtel brennt. Es brennt, Briederlach, es brennt. Wo ist kein Chalila, kommt der Moment. Unser Stadt mit uns zusammen soll auf Asche weg in Flammen bleiben soll. Wie noch ein Schlag, nur pust der schwarze Welt. Und ihr steht und guckt als sich mit verlegter Hand. Und ihr steht und guckt als sich, wie unser Städtel brennt. Es brennt, Briederlach, es brennt. Die Hilfe ist nur ein Eichelein, die Wend. Oi, du Städtli, sei keier. Nimm die Kehlem, lösch das Feuer. Lösch mit deinem eigenen Blut. Beweis, dass ihr das kennt. Steht nicht, Brüder, hat er so sich mit verlegte Hand. Steht nicht, Brüder, lösch das Feuer. Für unser Städtl brennt. The other question I had, and that it was very eloquent, it's not a song of the Holocaust, but a song about the Holocaust, that Kenny Caron, you're probably familiar with his music because he's a very successful original singer, writer. But later in his life, he devoted himself to Jewish music. He's got a wonderful prayer about, song about his dad, and there's a very eloquent prayer about the Holocaust, If the World Had Cried. And it tries to answer the question, what did the world do while our brethren and sistren died? Did the flowers cry? Did their petals fall? Did they live one day? Were they blown away? Were they there at all? Did the oceans roar? Did the trumpets call? Did they stop to pray on that godless day? Were they there at all? Were their hearts, did their hearts deceived? Were their hearts betrayed? Did they rise or fall? Did they march or crawl through the masquerade? If the world had cried long before the tears, would they not have died? Would they still be here? And what of the children with hope in their eyes? Would they be masters or slaves? And what of the future, the truths and the lies? Would there be children to save? They were much too young. They were much too old. Finding any trace, each remembered face, memories bought and sold. Pictures without hope, families without names. Were we all too blind? Did we trust mankind? Did we share the blame? Did we not believe? Were we not afraid? Were their stories told of forgotten souls and the price they paid? If the world had cried long before the tears, would they not have died? Would they still be here? We must not forget, it has stayed our lives. Were we blessed with time? Are we next in line? Why did we survive? If the world had cried for the missing years, for the love that died, would they still be here? And of course, the other question that's faced the Jews constantly when there's persecution is, v'hin zolich gein, where shall I go? Luckily for this generation, since 1948, the Jews have a place where we can go, a safe haven, where we're undoubtedly and unconditionally welcome. So this song, V'hin Zolich Gein, is in Yiddish. I've written some English words to help it be more relevant to today's audiences that might not speak English, but it tries to answer the question of where can the Jews go today, and the difficulty we encountered before we had Eretz Yisrael to call our own in modern times. Der Yid, wer gejubt und geplugt, nicht sicher, ist bei ihm jeder Tug, Sein Leben ist eine finstere Nacht, sein Leben hat zwar ihn gespart, verlassen bleibt mit Sonnen kein Freund, kein Hoffnung und ein sicherer Wein. Wie hin soll ich gehen? Wer kann entfernen mir? Wie hin soll ich gehen? Als verschlossen jede Tier, es ist die Welt groß genug, nur von mir ist eng und klein. Wie blickt mich zurück, sie so stärkt jede Brick, wie hin soll ich gehen? Our people have been driven and fled. No country in which we have not led. Our life has been one lone endless night, while striving to be God's special light. So hopeless, there was no friend in sight. So helpless, God alone knew our plight. Tell me, where can I go? There's no place I can see. Where to go, where to go? Every door is closed to me. To the left, to the right, it's the same in every land. There's nowhere, where to go? And it's me who should know. Won't you please understand? Now I know where to go, where my faults proudly stand. Let me go to that precious promised land. No more left, no more right. Lift your head, for there is light. Israel, Israel. Zu mein Land kleinen Schein, dort dahin will ich gehen.
I thought I would hope, I'd hope there would be a large kahila today. The people did come. The pandemic is still greatly not enabling us to be the community we'd like to be. So I'm going to sing the God Full of Compassion. I'd ask you wherever you are to stand. This is a prayer that doesn't require a minion. It'd be sung for an individual or people like ours that have suffered tremendous losses. Kamol Erachamim, God Full of Compassion, please rise.
Elam alei rachamim shochein b'amromim ametzei minucha nechana tachas kanefeh hayechina. Vimalois kidoshim utorim kizawar alakia meirin umazirin es nishama. Achenu bnei Yisrael, hakadoshim shenehelgu, hakadoshas Hashem, bavur shekol mispalim kan na drinci na kao, ja raz pa raz, niš moj se. Began heiten, tei menuchos hom, lachein barachamim, yes, the rabbi says, sir, can I fall, the alamim, ויצרור מצרור החיים, אס משמוי סייהם. אדנוי נגלסם, ינוח בשלום, על משכון. ונאמר, one of the songs that the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, had Jews sing in the ghetto was the Kaylee Kaylee, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was actually written as a play for theater. It was in a play that nobody remembers, and I worked with folks in Yiddish theater for years, and the play is long forgotten, but the words linger on, basically asking the plaintiff plea, God, how could you allow this all to happen?
Kelly,
in fire and flam, hot men uns gebrennt, überall gemacht und zu Schand. Und zu Spott. Doch gut so, wenn du hat uns kennen, nicht gekannt, und dir unser Gott, mit dein heilige Teure und dein Gebot. Heili, heili, lamm was auf Toni, heili, heili, lamm was auf Toni. Du Gnacht, nur ich tracht, und dir, mein Gott, ich gib mit Meure und dein Teure, deine zehn Gebot. Rette mich von Gefahr, wie einmal die Abos von Besing sah, höre mein Gebet. Mein Gewinn, helfen kannst du uns nur allein. Shema Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokeinu. Ad Hashem
Thank God we do have the state of Israel. I'd like to end on a hopeful note. So my portion of this wonderful and at the same time horrific program would be, wherever you are, stand up and let's sing Hatikva.
Oh, Lord, Balevav, Pnima, Nefesh Yehudi, Omiya, Lefatei Mizrach, Abima, Ayin Zion, Sophia, Odelota, Tigvateinu, Atitva, Shnot Alpayim, Liyotam Chavshi, Yartzeinu, Eretz Zion, Yerushalayim. Liyotam Chavshi, Yartzeinu, Eretz Zion, Yerushalayim.
Thanks for being here and paying some kind of honor and tribute to all those Jews that we lost so many years ago.
Rabbi, thank you so much for your beautiful presentation. I think it was extremely meaningful. At this point, I have one question for Ms. Kozaj. If anyone else has any questions, you're welcome to put them in the chat. We have a few minutes left. So if there are anything, Bina, are you still here? If you could unmute yourself. There is a question. What do you think is the best form of Holocaust education at this point in time? You have an opinion?
It's a very good question. As a former teacher, I will say that visualization is very, very important. Just telling them the story is not enough. They need even act out many of the events to understand the past, as I described in my book, for example, to know what it means to have Shabbat, and even to non-Jews. And then they will understand what their generation have lost. Also, the idea of acting out what was happening in the ghetto, as well as at the camp, because as children, no matter the age, if they acted out, they feel it, and then they understand. And naturally, to accompany with the text. The book that I wrote, Triumph After All, has not only historical facts, as well as my mother's story in Auschwitz and Bydgoszcz, that was the labor camp. The matter of fact, it was the biggest camp. While I wrote it, I didn't find information, but one of PBC, when I listened to some of the programs, I found out that the camp she was deported to from Auschwitz, that was the camp, the largest camp that produced ammunition for the Germans, of course. And I also have recipes, and I believe greatly to integrate recipes from the old shtetl with children, small children, younger children, they will understand it, and it's fun. They need to have some fun, unfortunately, much more motivation. I used to use it quite a lot in my teaching, and it brings it alive.
Thank you.
I hope I answered.
Thank you. This is for the rabbi. Is there music that was created during the Holocaust? We don't have time to hear it now, but are you aware that there was actually music that was created then?
I think was pretty much the poet laureate of the Jewish ghetto. He lived in Krakow, Poland. He had written Es Brent, which is basically a call to arms to the Jews, hoping there's still time to fight against what unfortunately became an inevitability. So this is definitely, and also Azug Mikemo is the Geist im Letzten Weg, sung by the Warsaw Ghetto Partisans. So Poland seems was a very fertile ground for Jewish artists, artists, and they just kind of sprang to the fore of giving hope to the people as we faced an imminent death, so many of us at that time.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any other questions. I want to thank all of our presenters are presenters from Tuesday and today, Bina Kozuch and Rabbi Shaliach Tzibor Josephson for such meaningful and wonderful presentations. I think that this period of time will have a lot more meaning for everybody. So thank you so much. I want to tell everybody next week, we will be having another presentation from New York Presbyterian Hospital of Queens on lung cancer now in the time of COVID. And that'll be on Tuesday. And on Thursday, we're very happy to welcome Faye Wilbur back again, who will be talking about creating healthy relationships. So you will be getting emails when you get your email today with the recording of today's session. You will get registration for those upcoming ones. And of course, we always give you access to the Spirit Archives, and it's very, very heartening to see. It was a lot of work to get that together. Our web department worked very, very hard on it, and we constantly ask them to update it. It's updated, I think, through maybe a week, week and a half ago, but these programs and the ones from last week will be on probably within another week or so. But so those Spirit Archives are, you can get access very easily. The links are in all of our emails. Keep in mind that any of the links that I sent you that are older than 2 weeks old will not be working now because of our change in our Zoom account. So you have to go to the archives for any of those materials, and it's all there. So I want to thank everybody so much for joining us today. Be safe and healthy. Have a wonderful day and have a good Shabbos. We look forward to seeing you back next week. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks you, Judy, for putting it all together. Thank you, Rebbetzin.
My honor.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.